Okay, I think we can start the session now. That wasn't the session, by the way. So who knows who that was? That's right. Give it up for Macklemore, boys from Seattle. Went through a really, really tough life and eventually made it. It's kind of like the Windows Phone story. Hey, we're gonna make it, man. We'll make it. Right. So as you can see here, I've got marketing in my title. For those of you who are waiting to get up and run out, let me just pause for a second and tell you why I'm here and why they gave me this session. So a lot of what gets covered in tech ed is really about, the details of the technology and so on and so forth. And I actually sort of work in a division that's responsible for trying to convince more and more enterprises and mid-market customers to sort of adopt Windows Phone. And we go there and we talk to them about the technology and so on and so forth. And at some point, I see their eyes kind of glaze over because I'm sure they receive that, sort of tech pitch from, I don't know, Android and iPhone and so on. One of the things I realized was that people didn't quite understand why we were doing what we were doing. Starting from last year, there was Windows 8, there's this thing called Windows RT, there's Windows Phone 8, and people are having a tough time sort of trying to wrap their head around, like, what is it that we are trying to do, and why is it that we are doing what we are doing? So a while back, I sat down one day and I said, you know what? I'm going to create this presentation. It's going to be called the "What the hell was Microsoft thinking?" presentation. So this is the "What the hell was Microsoft thinking?" presentation. Okay, I'm going to cover some aspects about security, et cetera, in depth. There was a good sort of depth app dev related session earlier on, but more than anything else, the bulk of the session is really about business strategy. It's really about business strategy, why we are doing what we are doing, okay? So the strategy part is the most important part to sort of focus on. If you're looking for like code samples and, detailed deep dive tech, you're only going to get this on one slide, which is the security deep dive slide. But the rest of it is really about strategy and to answer the question, what was Microsoft thinking? Okay? So with that, let me go into this. This is I don't know if you have attended any of the earlier sessions. We have to show this slide at every session, so I'm showing this slide. It says, you know what? It's a useful slide if you just wanted like one slide sort of takeaway as to Windows Phone. What is Windows Phone trying to do in enterprises? What is Windows Phone value proposition for businesses? Yeah, this consistent experience across devices, that's the vision. We're going to get there. But it always starts with a vision. We're all about productivity, making sure that the devices are connected, that the apps work and they work well and they don't crash, and then you have a good way to sort of manage them. Okay? So that's been, that's sort of our promise, and we're on this actually sort of like the first step in the journey. Common core security architecture is sort of the first step in the journey. If you've attended like most of the sessions that you'll attend, at least in the Windows Phone track or even in the Windows track, we'll always talk about first step in the journey. It's all going to converge slowly and surely, right? Because we know we are the masters of the vNext, right? V2, V3, and then it gets better and better. But when it gets better, and it gets really, really good, then people don't want to get rid of it. I mean, we have a massive problem trying to get customers to move away from XP. That was like 13 years ago. But that's what it's about. So we looked at this and said, you know what? Windows Phone is really a good phone for business. But for many of you that actually have sort of had some introduction to Windows Mobile 6.5, right? How many of you ever touched a Windows Mobile 6.5? Oh my God. I am sorry. I apologize to you. And I thank you. I thank you for your faith. Okay? Windows Mobile 6.5 was amazing from an enterprise perspective. It was like I don't know, it's kind of like a server in a phone. It was like a desktop crammed into a phone, right? It was manageable, it had all these features and encryption and everything. But, you know, consumers didn't want to use it. People just didn't want to use it because, I mean, the consumer experience wasn't all that great. So with Windows Phone 7, we kind of sort of hit the reset button and said, you know, we need to find something that, you know, consumers would like to use, people like to use for their personal life. And that's what we started. And actually, what happened was we swung the pendulum pretty hard in the consumer angle, right? And so there's a lot of the, you know, enterprise features, et cetera, that weren't there in Windows Phone 7. We just got encryption in Windows Phone 8, right? And we had IRM and all that in Windows Phone 7.5. So we are slowly sort of starting to ramp up the whole business aspect of things. So it's a good phone for business now. It's only going to get better. It's a pretty darn good phone for business, actually, and I'll show you some of the reasons why. But it's also a great phone for your personal life, for your consumer life, you know, the apps and things like that. So I sat down with my team one day, and I think we were having beers on a Friday afternoon. And I was like, hey, so what would you, like, how would you, like, creatively think about messaging a phone that's great for business, but also great for personal life? You know, it's like there's a business aspect, there's a party aspect, and then one of them had this great idea. And he said, business in the front, party at the back. Amazing, right? What a great idea. And I know, you know, the branding guys will kill me if I say, oh, this is the mullet phone, but it's an awesome phone. Okay? It's awesome. So business in the front, party in the back. So in commemoration of that wonderful beer drinking session we had on a Friday afternoon, we actually printed those limited edition T-shirts. And today, because it's Monday evening, 4:45 p.m., it's pretty late, and I'm incredibly grateful that all of you are still stuck around and attending the session. And kudos to you for finding this room. I couldn't even find this room, man. It's like way out here, dude. So we're going to keep this as interactive as possible so you guys don't fall asleep. This is business party. And the hood is actually a mullet. Pretty cool, huh? And my boss actually asked me, where is this? I said, it's in New Orleans. He says, it's hot, it's muggy. You're going to print a full sleeve T-shirt? And I'm like, it's in a conference center. It's always freezing in a conference center. So some of you are going to be warm today. Okay, so we'll give out T-shirts in return for volunteers for answers to questions. I won't make you come on stage and do silly things and all that, but yeah, just answer some simple questions, you get a T-shirt, if you answer it right. Okay? So there you go. Mullet phone, right. Okay, so let's start with the first one. What will we discuss today? This is what we'll discuss today. Okay? That's right. We'll peel the layers of the onion and take you behind the scenes on why we do what we do. Why did we do what we did, right? Because some of it, you know, and I know it because I meet these customers. They come to Microsoft, to the, you know, executive briefing center, and they ask these questions, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we really need to start talking about why, okay? So some really, really smart person, actually, if you actually look at this is what they call the, I think some positioning and messaging concentric rings or whatever. It's all about, you know, the what, how, and the why. But if you think about it from a grand perspective, you attend something like Tech Ed. All these sessions are really about what? Oh, you got this, and you got that, and here's the tech, and then it tells you how it all works. So there's all the what and the how, right? But nobody sits down and says, you know, here's why we did it, okay? And actually, you know, there's psychological theory that actually explains people actually don't buy what you do. They actually buy why you do it. Now, I'm not asking you to all go out and buy Windows phones. I would be delighted if you do. But I'm actually going to focus smack in the center as to why we're doing what we're doing. So let's begin that journey. and start with the very first t-shirt winning question. What is the number one CIO priority today? No. Okay, so let's do this because otherwise there'll be multiple winners. So if you have the answer and I point to you, you stand up and you answer the question. Okay, let's go. Okay, you, sir. Wrong. You, sir.
BYOD.
Wrong. You, sir.
I say big data.
Wrong. 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 Everyone's putting their hands down. Who is brave enough to win a Mueller t-shirt? Yes, sir, you. Close. I'll come back to you if nobody else gets the answer. You, sir. Yes, sir.
Total cost.
Okay, that's the same. Same.
Oh, big money.
Big, huh?
Big money.
Close. Okay, I'm watching you too. Yes. Close. You're getting closer. No, you're repeating. Okay, one last one. You, sir. Yes! 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 You win the t-shirt. You deserve to win the t-shirt. Number one. You can actually have your t-shirt right now. There you go. Ready? Aligning with business. You know what? Did I lose my clicker? Where did I put the clicker? Clicker. Yeah, here it is. We invite CIOs from big and medium-sized companies to come to Redmond for what we call the CIO summits, and we run surveys with them as to like what's really important to you. And I'm sure you guys voraciously read Gartner and things like that, where every year they say top technology priorities, top business priorities, and every year it's kind of like things change a little. Back when, early on, it was security, right? So we actually went through the journey of what Gartner calls top technology priorities just by doing this Q&A. It was security, then it became, it was cloud, everything was all cloud, and then it's like BI, and then it's big data, which is like BI in a different way, and it just goes on and on, and every year it's gonna change, and now it's mobility. Mobility is the number one technology priority. And it will be, I think, for another year or a couple of years, and there will be the next big thing, right? But that's not what is keeping the CIO up at night. What's keeping the CIO up at night is meeting the expectations of the guy or the girl that's paying his bills and paying for his department, which is the business people, right? There's this dichotomy, right? There's the world of IT, and there's the CIO at the top. And then there's the world of business, and there's all the CXOs at the top. And IT's bills are paid by these business stakeholders. So your CIO's number one job is to keep these business stakeholders happy. And they are not very happy in many, many cases. The business stakeholders are not very happy. And the IT leaders are always worried about their jobs and about their people, about retrenchment, about budget, like every single year. You live and breathe this. I have lived and breathed this. I used to work in an IT department myself. So, fascinatingly, when we ask this question, right, what's your top leadership priority? It kind of makes sense that they'll say, aligning business and IT goals. Then we said, what's your top technology priority? You would expect for them to say mobility or big data or something. And no, they wrote in IT and business alignment, the exact same thing, right? So this is a big pain for people, right? And the CIOs really, really worried about this. And here's the fascinating thing. They've been worried about this right from day one. It's not suddenly this year they're worried about business alignment. They've always been worried about business alignment, okay? So let's go to the next one. Here's why they are worried, okay? Only 22% of IT departments are considered to be business peers or game changers by their business stakeholders. So basically, the people paying their bills, only 22% of them are considered to be peers or game changers. 21% are considered to be cost centers, and 57% are considered to be service providers. Is this a happy chart or an unhappy chart? is pretty unhappy. I mean, do we all want to go to work knowing that we are a service provider or cost center? I mean, some of you guys have got like PhDs and, you know, did this like massive degrees in tech, and so did I, right? The last thing I want to do is work anywhere where I'm considered to be a cost center or a service provider. It's pretty depressing. Hey, I'd be flipping burgers somewhere, man, if that's what I wanted to do, right? That's not what I wanted to do. And this is what they're faced with. And this is from CIO Magazine's State of the CIO survey. There's a very, very fascinating correlation to this. It's not exact, but it's pretty close, okay? And this comes to my next question. What percent of CIOs report to CFOs? Raise your hand and tell me the answer. You, sir.
50%.
Wrong.
75.
Wrong.
80.
Wrong.
21.
Correct. Yes. About 20% actually report to CFOs, because there's a massive correlation between this chart and who your CIO reports to. In fact, if you want to find out for any given company what the IT department is, what's their perception, go find out who the CIO reports to and you will figure that out. A lot of CIOs are reporting to COOs, service provider, right? Good 50% of them report to COOs. And maybe about 20% or so report to CEOs, exactly. The nirvana for a CIO is to report to the CEO. Why? Because then you have a seat at the table. Because then you don't have to wait for some other idiot to say, hey, your budget is cut, and you just receive the information, and you don't have a chance to fight for more budget or fight for more people. You want a seat at the table. Every CIO wants to be there in blue. But it's not that easy, is it? If it was easy, everyone would be in blue, right? What is it that's holding them back? I mean, what do these business peers or game changers even want? You know, I mean, I used to work in an IT department myself. I had no clue, man. You ask me what my CIO wants or what the business stakeholders want, I don't know. I used to think, oh, it was to make sure that my, you know, Exchange deployment goes well, or my NT 4.0 deployment goes well. That's what they want from me. Turns out that these business stakeholders don't really give a damn about that. I mean, they don't care, oh, you know, this deployment or this technology and blah, blah, blah. They don't really care about that. They just want it to just magically happen. You know that, right? Make it happen. Make it happen. Magically happen. That's what it is. That's what our life is. So let's start to peel another layer of the onion and sort of understand what do businesses actually want, right? Let's start with this. Every business in the entire world needs to do three things simultaneously. It needs to sustain existing products and services, improve existing products and services, and introduce new products and services. Period. No matter what business you're in, no matter which geography you're in, you're going to have to do this if you intend to survive. I mean, you can just sustain existing products and services. You'll be irrelevant pretty soon. Someone in China will make the same thing that you're doing and sell it for half the price, and you'll be dead. But this is what they all have to do. Why is this important? This is important because every single thing that we do in IT ultimately accrues to one or more of these goals. Everything that you do in IT will ultimately either help you sustain existing product or service, improve it, or introduce a new one. This is a very common IT portfolio management framework called Run, Grow, and Transform. It was invented somewhere in the 2000s by some dude called Lewis Boyle. Worked for a company called Meta. Meta got acquired by Gartner. Gartner re-released the framework in 2008. It's called the Run, Grow, Transform framework. McKinsey uses it. Does anyone of you have had McKinsey work in their companies to do consulting work? Right. They charge millions of dollars, right? But of course, because they charge millions of dollars, they can't actually use the same terms. So McKinsey doesn't call it Run, Grow, Transform. They call it Stay in the race, win the race, and change the rules. Exact same concept. In fact, how many of you have heard of MIT's Center for Information and Systems Research? CISR? MIT? Yes, one person. So MIT also has a similar framework. Instead of three buckets, they have five buckets because they like to make things more complex, but that's okay. So it's three buckets, okay? So if everything that IT does ultimately falls into these three buckets, that means if IT is given a dollar, it will get peppered across this, right? It will get moved across this. So here is my next question. What is the percentage of IT spend that falls in run, how much in grow, and how much in transform? Who wants to go first? You, sir.
70-20-10.
Perfect. Yes, 70-20-10. Exactly 70-20-10. Now, Gartner, because they have invented or rather re-released this framework, has been tracking this. So if you look at the Gartner surveys every year, I don't know how many of you have access to them, they will have a section. You know the one that says top technology priorities, top business priorities? They'll also have something about North American IT spend or something. Just look for that report. Scroll down towards the bottom section. You will find them actually break out run, grow, transform, spend across all industries for the year. They'll also break it out by different industries as well. Right, so if you're in a, you know, manufacturing versus finance versus whatever, you know, there'll be a slightly different split for that year. The key thing to remember is this, though. I've been tracking that survey for about 8 years now. The numbers roughly stay the same. They're roughly the same. They change by a percentage point here and there. They roughly stay the same by industry, unless something catastrophical happens in an industry, like the finance industry just goes bust, you know, because you know, something happens in 2008 and so on and so forth. So run, grow, transform is that. Now, when you think about the previous slide, you know, all these IT departments struggling for better perception with the business stakeholders, right? Does it kind of start to make sense now as to why they have that perception? Because IT is primarily seen as just running, right? Sustaining existing products and services. And business cares about growth and transformation. And this is why there's this massive perception gap, there's an issue gap, right? So it's pretty easy, right? I gave you a chart. You look at the chart. You say, oh, there's a lot of money being spent over there up top. How about let's just flip that? Flip it. It's easy. How hard can it be? You know, draw a line in the center. Flip it. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. It is physically impossible. You can do that in PowerPoint, but in real life, you can't, right? It's not possible, and here's why. And I'll also tell you why these percentages don't change every year. Because if you think about it, right, globalization, competitive pressure, so on and so forth, you would think that companies are so on their toes right now that they are very aggressively moving stuff into grow and transform. But they're not, because they can't. And here's why. Because of the law of technology adoption, starting at the left, moving to the right, every new technology introduced into your IT environment over time will get more broadly adopted by our competition, right? Eventually, everyone in the market is going to have it. Who here does not have an email server or a CRM system? Everyone has it, right? The competitive advantage from that technology will diminish. It just has to. It's the law of the universe, right? So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I got this great packaged ISV solution for you. It's packaged. That means it's sold as a package? And everybody else can buy the exact same thing? Right. Okay. Probably not going to give you like a big competitive advantage, unless you're sitting out there and customizing the crap out of it such that it doesn't even look like what it originally was, right? So think about it. What does that mean? All this technology, right, into your environment, over time, competitive advantage of it goes down. Think of your email systems, your CRM systems, your PLM systems, your SCM systems, all of that have all ended up on the right-hand side. All they do is help you run your business. So what do? No competitive advantage. Let's just get rid of them. Can you? Can you? You can't. You will shut down. You will die a horrible death if you get rid of your email system. Right? It's impossible. You can't. These are your systems that keep your lights on. You can't get rid of them. You have to have them. Here's what's even more interesting. As every day, week, month, year goes on, more and more technology is ending up in that bucket. Why? Because the x-axis is time. So the fact that the percentages are still 70, 20, 10, and they are staying consistent is a huge, huge kudos to IT departments around the world that have managed to keep that run bucket at 70%. It's pretty spectacular what they're doing. So if someone comes to you and says, hey, wow, you still spend 70% next year, oh, you still spend 70%, you say, you should thank me that it's still at 70% because I got a whole bunch of other stuff that ended up in that bucket, right? I deserve a medal in IT for keeping it at 70%. But you all know that IT does not get a medal for keeping things at 70%. Right? You don't get a medal. Hey, you get to keep your job, right? It's true, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Hey, I've been there. So, you don't get a medal. You get a medal if you go to the left, right? If you help improve existing products and services and introduce new ones. But remember, 22% of CIOs have figured it out. They figured something out. What are they doing? You think they have a different cost structure? Have they physically altered space and time and the laws of the universe and come up with a different cost structure? Or are there CEOs going, I love you so much. Here's more money. Here's more people. Go drive growth and transformation for me. Do you think that's actually happening with those 22% CIOs? No, it's not happening. But they've done something. Secret sauce. They have a secret sauce. And it's not that complicated. It's very simple. It's about aligning expectations. Remember, the original problem was aligning with business. Whenever you want to make someone happy, whether it's your kid, your wife, your boss, or your CEO, first set expectations and say that, Mr. CEO, I have technologies that span the gamut of transform, grow, and run. Today, 70% on run, 20% on grow, and 10 on transform. Each of them uses, each bucket uses technologies at different stages of maturity. If the technology is at a different stage of maturity, that means the metrics of success that are used for it should be different. Success metrics for each one of these buckets should be different. Once you pick the right success metrics and set the right expectation, then you will have better outcomes. And then the expectation is not that you're going to drive like if you're doing like a run-related project, there's no way, never, ever, ever go and put, oh, I'm going to give you great ROI, I'm going to give you great time to market, because you're setting yourself up for failure. Right? That's why the CEOs and the business stakeholders get upset, is because they don't get what they think they should get. Because the expectation was, you're going to give me all this amazing stuff, and all you've done is, you know, sustain existing products and services. So what are these secret metrics? That's what it is, and let me explain why. If something, starting at the right-hand side, if something is not giving you a competitive advantage, what's the best thing you can do with it? Save money. Save money, live better. Go to Walmart. Yeah. It's reduce total cost of ownership, right? And I'm very, very deliberate about saying total cost of ownership and not price. Why? Because you can go for some really, really cheap stuff, but it's going to break down, and then you're going to spend all your time trying to fix it. So total cost of ownership is this delicate balancing act of reducing cost and price while at the same time meeting your service level agreements. And therefore, it's total cost of ownership. Grow. Grow is about improving existing products and services. What is IT's role? If your IT department is actually not specifically creating the service or the product, then what is your connection to improving products and services? It's the employees. That's your connection. It's the other employees, not the employees in your IT department, outside, right? The information workers, everything else outside of IT, all the people that report to the CXOs and the business stakeholders, make them productive. Make them productive so they can improve the existing products and services. That's how you drive growth. In fact, growth and productivity have a very high correlation. It's actually part of macroeconomic theory, right? Most of the productivity in the United States, most of the growth in the United States of America, growth is measured through real GDP. Most of the real GDP in the US over the past 20 years has come from increases in productivity. And the increases in productivity has come about primarily due to technology, right? The things that you take for granted, right, you know, like sending emails and composing Word docs and doing Excel spreadsheets and all that. Imagine trying to do that stuff 20 years ago. It would take you forever, right? Okay? So that's growth and productivity. When it comes to transform, introducing new products and services, right? Improve time to market. Why did I say improve time to market? Because these are early stage technologies. They're not broadly adopted. If somebody comes to you and says, I got this brand spanking new technology, and it's going to dramatically increase productivity and dramatically reduce your total cost of ownership, don't believe them. Because there's no proof. The technology needs to get to a point where it is mature. Then you have sufficient number of people go, oh, yes, it actually increases productivity or it reduces TCO. So when it comes to this, the best thing you can do, it's still a bet. That's the reason why people only put 10% in there. If you're going to place a bet, and if you're not like a crazy risk taker, poker player, whatever, right, you put 10%. That's a reasonable amount. You'll see where it goes. You'll do a small pilot. You always do pilots. Remember the importance of pilots, right? And get to market as quickly as possible so you develop the learning muscle such that when the technology reaches sort of the hockey stick, the curve, that's when your organization already has the capabilities to ride the advantage, right? So run, grow, and transform. This is really the whole concept behind our mobility strategy. And what I'm going to do is sort of walk you through. So this was the why. I'm going to walk you through the what specifically have we done that aligns with this notion of run, reducing total cost of ownership, increasing productivity for growth, and improving time to market. Why? Because when we looked at mobile technologies, right, a lot of people think, oh, mobile is new, it's the new hot sexy thing, yeah, you know, it's, you know, number one and Gartner's top priority. But come on, man, mobile technology has been around for a long time. Some of this stuff has been around for a long time. Not all of it has been around for a long time. Some of it, you know, has come in later. So when you think of a mobile platform, be very clear with your business stakeholders, like, what are they talking about? Some of the stuff, hey, making phone calls from your cell phone, seriously, that did not happen, like, over the past couple of years, right? You could have done that a long time ago, right? So that is mature technology as part of your mobile platform. Doing other things like increasing productivity and improving time to market, those are relatively new. So when we looked at a mobile platform saying, okay, what should our strategy be? It should be, you know what? Look at this and say, okay, make sure that your mobile platform accrues to these three benefits, right? Reduce TCO, increase productivity, and improve time to market. So let's start with the very first one. Which is run. When people think about run, remember I told you it was like a delicate balancing act. You need the peace of mind and you need to lower your total cost of ownership. When people think about peace of mind, you know, they think about security and manageability. When they think about lowering total cost of ownership, they think about the infrastructure. And right now, you know, you have a very heavy, you know, domain joint infrastructure with servers and clients and, you know, all this stuff, this great, lots of Microsoft technology. You have people, this is the IT department, the IT pros and the developers, and you have processes, right? Deployment, administration, and support. So the challenge here is, how do you develop a mobile platform that gives you peace of mind and lower TCO? And here's what we did. First, let's talk about the first thing that comes to mind when people think about peace of mind. They think about security. This is the security architecture diagram for Windows Phone, Windows Phone 8. Starts at the bottom with hardware and firmware, then you have the kernel, then you have the internal storage. It has two partitions. There's an OS partition, and there's a user partition that has the files and data and the apps, and then it communicates with servers and cloud services up there. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to walk you through the different components that all of these actually have, so you get a better understanding of our security model. Okay? So this is where we get a little bit techie. Okay. All right. So first things first, Windows Phone 8 only runs on specified hardware, certified hardware. This not only guarantees you a base level user experience, whether you're buying a $0 phone or a $200 phone, but also dramatically reduces the hardware related security attack vectors, right? The number of attack vectors are dramatically limited if you only run on specific hardware, if it's not like a free-for-all. Next, there's a TPM 2.0 chip on every Windows Phone 8 device. This is a huge boost to security. This TPM 2.0 chip houses the encryption keys. It contains the crypto engine, and it greatly enhances the secure boot process. And what we do is we use the UEFI secure boot process. UEFI stands for Unified Extensible Firmware Interface. UEFI is essentially the new BIOS. And what it does is UEFI states that the firmware, the bootloader, the kernel, and the kernel extensions need to be cryptographically signed, so it's easy to detect when it's been tampered with. If it's been tampered with, the device won't boot. Okay? So we use the UEFI secure boot standard, and it's kind of the same standards used in Windows RT and Windows 8. But that crypto signing goes beyond just the kernel. It extends to the apps and the files and the data and all the other aspects of the OS. All of it is cryptographically signed. Why? Because we wanted to ensure that there was a trusted chain that goes from the hardware all the way up. Why do we want a trusted chain? We want a trusted chain because we don't want our devices to be easily rooted or jailbroken, which is a different sort of philosophy. I mean, there's no right or wrong. In Android, rooting is considered to be a feature, right? To us, we don't want that, right? I mean, it's okay. On the iPhone, they have the same sort of trusted boot chain concept as well, but it's not been very trustworthy, right? Because every version of iOS has been jailbroken shortly after release. In fact, I did the calculations. Apparently, on an average of 51 days after release, every iOS version has been jailbroken. So far, we have not been jailbroken, and it's not been because of lack of trying. Let's go to the next one. So Windows Phone 8 shares the same kernel as Windows 8, and Windows RT is the NT kernel, as you guys probably already know, but it also shares the same driver model, developer platform, security model, networking model, graphics, all of that is shared. And what that means is that all of these components have been tested on more than a billion devices, right? Because the NT kernel also powers Windows servers, which run in mission-critical data centers, powers Windows clients, and there's lots and lots of Windows clients out there. So that's the benefit we got from moving to the NT kernel. It's very interesting. Did you guys know that Windows Phone 7, what kernel was it built on? Who knows the answer? Windows Phone 7, what kernel? Yes, sir.
CE, sir.
Yes. Windows CE. Somebody else. Yes, you, sir. You shouldn't raise your hands up if you already know the answer. There you go. Windows CE, And it took a while, right, to move from the Windows CE to the NT kernel. And that's the reason why, you know, sometimes sort of explains the amount of dev work involved in this. So a lot of the Windows 7 to Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 7 to Windows Phone 8, you know, what's the extra work? Why did it take so long? It's because of all the stuff that's going underneath. Next, single source of updates, which means all updates have to come from Microsoft and only from Microsoft. And then we follow the same security fix procedure that's used by the Microsoft Security Response Center for our client and server devices. Next, we support alphanumeric passwords for device locks, so you have complex password support. And of course, we use the same BitLocker encryption as Windows. Now, this BitLocker encryption is interesting because what it does is the encryption keys are actually stored in the TPM chip. And it's only released under two conditions. The first condition is that the device must have successfully gone through a UEFI secure boot to boot up a trusted OS. And the second condition is that that storage must physically reside in the original device. What does that mean? That means you can't take that storage, put it in another Windows Phone 8 device, and boot it up from there. You can take that storage, boot up using an alternative OS, and try to access the data. So together with device lock and BitLocker encryption, it's extremely, extremely difficult to access the files and data in an unauthorized way on a Windows Phone 8. Next. Every single app on a Windows Phone 8 runs in its own isolated chamber. And it receives, even the OS services actually run in their own isolated chamber. And it receives only the minimum set of capabilities required to run all its use cases. It cannot access, cannot communicate with another app other than through the cloud. And it cannot access the other apps, keyboard, cache, or data. Right? So that's the sandboxing. Even the browser lives in its own sandbox, that's IE10, and we ship with a secure version of IE10, which has got anti-phishing filters built in. Okay? Then, if you want further encryption, you can encrypt the files and data using something called the Data Protection API. And what that is it's pretty smart technology that essentially auto-generates the and encryption keys for the files and data using entropy information already available in the device. Okay? And then beyond that, we all know that no matter how much encryption you have on a device, right, you cannot prevent an authorized user who has booted up a trusted OS from sharing information with unintended parties, willingly or unwillingly. And so for that, you need information rights management. So we have an IRM client built in. Okay? And then finally, SSL 3.0 to communicate with cloud and cloud services support AES 128 and 256-bit encryption. Okay? A lot of people really sort of want this, and some folks are actually taking pictures. We are going to release a website, I think, later today or early tomorrow that will have this architecture diagram. And actually, for those of you that got the t-shirts, you know I'm a marketing guy, so I actually put the website URL on this. So you have now become my walking advertisements, but thank you for that. Okay? No, sincerely, thank you. All right. So we talked about peace of mind. Let's talk about TCO. Our approach to reducing total cost of ownership is really about looking at customers that have lots and lots of Microsoft technology and trying to figure out a way in which they can get more out of their existing investments, right? So we have a built-in management client. It supports a lot of these Exchange Active Sync policies, right? So we have an Exchange Active Sync support to manage these Windows Phone 8 devices. But we also have a built-in management client that you can hook up your existing MDM solution to. So it works with AirWatch, works with Mobile Iron, Symantec, Citrix, and of course supports Windows Intune. From a productivity perspective, people are very, accustomed to using Office on their client machines. So we have mobile versions of all the Office products built in into Windows Phone, Windows Phone 8. So you have all the stuff that you expect, and I'll show you a little demo out of that. And what that does is it helps you get more out of your existing investments in the servers that you've bought, the Exchange servers, the SharePoint servers, the Lync servers, and the Office 365 stuff that you've invested in. This really is the main reason why most customers sort of that have deployed Windows Phone 8 have actually chosen Windows Phone 8. It just made too much financial sense for them not to, right? The productivity part gets, uses all the existing infrastructure. Because remember, you're trying to make a business case, and then you have to continually focus on that 70% and make sure it's at 70%, doesn't go up in any given year. So every time you make a business case, the first thing that you will have to do is do a TCO story, right? And when you show this, it makes total sense. Okay? So that's that. Let's go to the next section, which is all about grow. Grow. So today, remember I mentioned there's this sort of dichotomy between, the world of client computing, which is like PCs and, tablet PCs, and then you have mobile computing, which is slates and phones, right? A lot of people have all kinds of frameworks to analyze productivity, et cetera, but I sort of simplified it over here. I said basically there's three workloads, right? When you're trying to be productive, you're either trying to create, you're trying to consume, or you're trying to communicate. Today, there are three different devices that have become optimized for each of these three different workloads, right? The PC is used for create. For consume, it's your tablet because it's got a nice big screen and you can watch videos and play Angry Birds. And then you got communicate, which is, voice and, making phone calls, right? It's really important, and short email. So we looked at this and said, you know what? If we really, I mean, like at Microsoft, we take productivity seriously, right? I mean, Excel and this and the people obsess, oh, should we put the ribbon in this time? Should we take out the ribbon? I mean, we obsess about it, right? And we do that because it's like, seriously, I mean, the whole ribbon was, man, we got all these features, but these guys are never going to see this unless they press Alt D, Control C plus T. It's like, oh, let's put a ribbon. It solves it. We looked at this. Productivity is really important to us. And we looked at this and said, you know what? Let's try something. Whatever level of productivity, and you can see the different bars, right? You're supremely productive on a PC, a little less so on a tablet, and not that much productive on a phone. How could you take this and jack up the productivity from each one of these form factors? Why? Because we could look at this and say, you know what? There should be one device to rule them all. Xbox One. No, I'm kidding. No, it's not. I mean, who knows, man? I mean, do people want a 3.5-inch phone or a 4-inch phone or a 5-inch phone or a 7-inch phone? Who knows? I don't know. We can't predict. Depends, right? Different people are different, right? But when we look at all these form factors, we say, you know what? Let's at least try to increase the productivity on all of them, right? So that's what we tried to do. How do we jack up productivity on all of them? And this is really it. This is what we tried to do. Now, I must have created, I don't know, five, six different versions that sort of explain the whole concept of RT and Surface and this and that. But this is the most lucid one, the one that people completely understand when I show it after I walk you through this. What is this PC with this Acer Aspire 7 with this touchscreen? It's a PC with touch, okay? That's the simplest way to describe it. It's a PC with touch. Why? Because when you think about it, and if you have, how many of you have a touch-based PC? A few of you, right? There's certain tasks, right, that you don't need the fine-grained, move your hand here and muck around with the mouse thing, right? I see people work with a touch-based PC, and then they start to, click certain icons, and it's easier, it's faster. Because people are all about what's efficient, right? There's one, I think it was an Acer or Asus device, which basically folds up, folds in. It's like this Frankenstein device. But it's like it folds in, but what it does is it covers the mouse trackpad. So it forces you to actually just touch the screen. And then people realize, damn, that's very efficient, right? So it's all about user training. You get really kind of used to it, and people start to love it. As more and more devices, more and more PCs come shipped with a touch screen, over the next couple of years, you'll start to see people where it's going to be completely logical. They see a screen, they touch it. In fact, take your existing PC that does not have a touch screen, give it to your child. What's the child going to do? Doesn't work. What is this stupid thing with the keys? I don't know. Doesn't work, right? That's what happened. So it is natural. People will start touching their PCs. No, sorry. Right. I told you don't record this session. Okay, so what is Surface with Windows 8 Pro? What is it? Simply a PC in tablet form factor. That's it. It's a PC in a tablet form factor. Full-blown domain-joined PC. And you know, every time I say domain-joined with people who have actually been an IT administrator, they're like, yes, domain-joined, right? Because you can control this, right? Now, Surface RT. The goal of this was not to make it the one device that rules them all. Clearly, for those of you that stood in line and bought the $99 device, it doesn't do it all. But it's definitely a tablet that does more, right? It's definitely a tablet that does more, right? If you really want to, I mean, you know, use it, yes, swipe over into desktop mode, you know, try a bunch of things in there. And yeah, we don't have all the apps, but hey, we got Office. And you get a lot of work done with Office, right? And then you have a phone. Right? On the phone, this is the only sort of Windows Phone is the only one that will have mobile versions of Office built in. Right? So it's a phone that does more. So that's really what we've been trying to do. And when you look at it this way, it's simple, right? There's no like grand scheme. You know, I attend these sessions and customers are asking these questions like, what's the philosophy behind RT? And I'm like, dude, tablet that does more. That's it. No more complex than that, right? Why? Because we don't know what people want to use. I mean, who knows, right? Can't predict that, you know? Now, you know, people are buying. Have you seen the lines out there for the Surface RT? It's crazy. How many of you went and got one? And the rest of you didn't have the courage to stand in line for 4 hours. but you see, it's in like, if it's going for $99, people won't buy it, right? I mean, heck, you know, for $150, would you guys have bought it, those who bought it? Would you have bought it for $150? Yeah, right? So it's about pricing, and we'll figure it out, right? But the whole notion is that we're onto something. We are about this whole idea of let's make everything a little bit more, make it easier to do more productivity. Okay, so I'm supposed to do a demo right now to show you productivity on a Windows phone. Okay, let me see, okay. So you're probably familiar with, you know, Office and the desktop and everything like that, so let me just, I'm gonna do a demo of productivity on the phone. Okay, so this here is my Windows phone, okay? I'm gonna show you a bunch of things. I'm gonna show you five things, right? I'm gonna show you Outlook, I'm gonna show you IRM, right? Information Rights Management, RMS. I'm going to show you calendar, I'm going to show you link, and I'm going to show you, I think, Office 365. Yeah. Okay, so let's go with that. Number one thing on my Windows phone that I really like, I attend a lot of meetings. So at any given point in time, I just need to know what's my next meeting and what's the time currently, right? And what's the meeting about? And I can see that here right on my lock screen. So along with the other notifications, so I swipe up, key in my password, go right in. Okay, I'm not a big sort of Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter kind of person, but I do a lot of email, I get a lot of emails. So what I do is I have a folder, I have a rule on my Exchange server that takes all my emails from my team, and it moves them into a special folder, an Exchange folder called Team, right? And this here is that folder, I can actually pin that to my start screen, right? So you see that? Did I get rid of it? There you go. Nice. Folder. There you go. See, I proved to you. pin to start. There you go. Come back. Come back. There you go. Come on. There you go. So here's the thing. I think you can resize these tiles, and it shows you more information. Now, I can see there's an email from Lillian saying it's announcing some corporate loaner program or whatever. So let's go in now and actually see what this email is about. Okay? So this is the email from Lillian, and it's basically announcing a loaner program. So this is actually a real program. If you want to test a Windows phone in your environment, just contact your Microsoft account team and we'll ship you a phone, right? We'll ship you a phone with, you know, the packing labels and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a lot of details over here. And basically she's saying, please little R me if you have any questions on this program. So little R, how many of you don't know what little R means? Okay, little R means don't reply all. So why did she do that? Well, because she's got like 20 recipients on this. And at, you know, there's people who are very infamous for doing reply all. So she's rights protected this message, right, for read only. Okay, so the IRM support on a Windows phone is pretty amazing. It's very granular, actually. So let's go back to the email. Here's an email from Jimmy on my team. So you can see here, this email is not rights protected, right? But there's this document about our buyback program. So it's downloading. I try to open it. And it says, this document is rights protected. Interesting. Email not rights protected, but attachment is rights protected. And this here is a buyback program, which is basically, if you buy Windows phones and you have old phones that you're trying to get rid of, then you ship them over to us and we give you money back. So, this is actually a real website. You can see this. Okay, so this is a buyback program. Interesting. The other thing I like about Windows Phone is, you know how the phones actually, they will not store emails beyond like a certain time. And you can adjust that, right? It only stores emails for 7 days. But a lot of times you're like out on the road and, you know, you're looking for like some PO that the vendor sent you, or he promised to give you something and he didn't. So you say, oh, I know he promised me something that was 6 months ago. You can actually look for emails that are older that are living on the Exchange server. So here, let's say, for example, I'm looking for an email that has the word CIO in it. It doesn't show up on my phone, but I can search for it on my Exchange server, and this will pull up all the emails that had that keyword in it. So you can search on your Exchange server, which is pretty cool. The next thing I want to show you here really is calendar, right? The number of people, number of companies that switch to Windows Phone just because they wanted they wanted Outlook, they wanted email and calendar to work just like it does on their PC, right? Just that one thing, right? And on a Windows Phone, it does, right? So here's a meeting request from Tom on my team. As you can see here, it says, show adjacent appointment. Can you see that right at the top? So you click on that, and it takes you straight to the calendar, okay? So it's seamless integration with the calendar. So just like, you know, when you receive meeting request, or somebody accepts, or somebody declines, etc., and you see that on your PC, you see it in the exact same way on your phone. There's actually a Fortune 500 company. I don't know if you know about this. Maybe I shouldn't tell you. I'll just tell you. There was a meeting request went out. CEO was supposed to attend a meeting. Some guy, so they were on iPhone. Some guy who was also on the meeting request said, I don't think I want to attend this meeting. So he declined. It wiped out the meeting from everybody else's calendar. The CEO actually missed his meeting. The IT department had hell to pay for that. And that's when they called us and said, hey, this Windows phone, does it do like calendar and mail properly? And like, yes, it does. OK, so that is mail and calendar integration. Next thing I want to show you is Link. This here is a meeting request. This is a recurring Link meeting that my team has. We talk about, you know, CIO summits and so on and so forth. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to try and join this meeting. Okay? So single tap, and here's what it's doing. It's taking my credentials. It's authenticating it against the server or whatever. Let me try that again. Join online meeting. And all the stuff that you're seeing right now is running on an Office 365 tenant. Okay? So this is joining the link meeting, and I can see Lillian has joined the meeting, and Jimmy has joined the meeting, okay? So unmute myself, that's Jimmy. And hi, Jimmy, can you hear us? You gotta jack up the volume.
Yes, I can hear you.
Where are you, Jimmy?
I am in lovely Redmond, Washington.
Lovely Redmond, Washington. What's that Batman thing at the back, dude? What is that? That's insane. What's hanging on Tom's...
Lord of the Rings.
No, behind you.
Action figure.
Lord of the Rings action figure.
Because if he does, he's going to die.
Okay, is that you, Lillian? Oh, there you are. Where are you sitting?
There's an action figure.
I can't tell you where I'm sitting.
No, that does not look like the restroom. Okay, hey, by the way, it was Lillian, Jimmy and Lillian's great idea to do the mullet. Hey, Lillian, you want to put on your mullet? Oh, and show the side, oh, check it out. All right. Okay. Hey, I just realized you guys can't see me, so let's stop my camera. Okay. This is full HD voice and video, secure, enterprise grade. On your phone with one click. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing, right? So let's do this. So you know it's not just the three of us. So let me switch cameras so you can see the audience. They're all sitting in the dark. I don't know. Can you see? You can't see nobody. Say hi anyway. Okay, I'm going to switch back. Okay, what do you want to do today?
I was hoping... you could take a look at that Excel file I put together.
Okay.
And if you could take a look at the PowerPoint presentation that I put for the field sellers, that'd be great.
Okay. So go back into the meeting request. This is it. And we usually use an Office 365 share site for all our projects. So here's the link to that. And this is for our CIO summit. So I tap to it. One click, right? Single sign on, straight to the Office 365 site. Here are the documents that they're talking about. Lillian wants me to look at the Excel spreadsheet. Here it is. Tap that open. Look at that. Hey, we had some like attendee stuff, right? Some attendee related information?
Yeah, those are on one of the tabs
okay.
in the workbook.
So let's look at the tabs. Let's go here. So this is actually real data. This is the CIOs that came to Redmond most recently. You can see the fidelity on this. It's pretty amazing. Look at that. You can see it pretty clearly. And then let's go back to the budget spreadsheet. So what do you got here? Let's see. So I like to actually see whether, you know, she does her numbers correctly. It allows you to do some, like, interesting things. So this is, like, the total is 141,000. I can take this. I can drag it down like that. Click the sum button, and it tells me that she's done her math right. So good job on that, Lillian. Go down. There's this TBD line item. What's this TBD line item? Lillian?
I don't actually remember that score. I'll need to check with the vendor on that line item.
Okay, so I'm going to leave a comment over here. Please check. Okay, hit the back button, hit it again, save changes, boom, done. So this is now saving onto my O365 site. Okay, there you go. So that is, I'm still on the call. Tap to expand so you can see that I'm still on the call, so I'm not pretending. There you go. Still on the call, right? And then I'm going to an Office 365 site, opening stuff, editing it, viewing it while still on that call, right? So Jimmy wanted me to take a look at this PowerPoint slide. So let's take a look at that. The interesting thing about PowerPoint on a Windows phone is this, right? You will always get more. I mean, when you have the fake Office products that you get on the other phone, this is real Office. You'll always get more features here. So you can do things like, hey, this is a thumbnail view. I don't know what it's like in your companies, but at Microsoft, a lot of people have like really, really long presentations, and then you have to get to slide 37 to see what is interesting. So over here, you have thumbnail view. I think they created this just for Microsoft employees. And you can jump to, say, slide number 5, and you look at how beautifully that actually appears. Right? Okay, great. So we got this done. I think I've done everything that you guys needed me to do on the phone, guys. So let me go back into this, and let's see over here. You want to say bye to the audience?
Yes, bye, audience. But before I do that, make sure to visit our newly launched Windows Phone business site. It just launched hot off the presses. So visit windowsphone.com/business to download some new interesting materials for you to read up on.
Also, stop by the expo hall tonight during the reception. Find me, get a cool t-shirt, win lots of prizes.
All right. There you go. That's a marketing team, right? Shameless. They're in a demo, live on stage. Check this out. Check that out. Do this. All right, guys. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, so that's Link. How's that? Pretty cool, huh? All on your phone. That's pretty amazing, right? It's all secure. It's amazing. Okay, last thing I want to show you here is Office. All right, this is a really neat trick. Like, when you open stuff, you can actually look for files that you have opened in email. A lot of times when you open documents, etc., on your phone, it's very difficult to kind of remember, did you open it in email? Did you open it from something else? So here it is. You click on email, and it shows you all the documents that opened in email, right? So that's the one that I recently opened. The first time you hook up to the Office 365 site, it'll already go and save it. You see the CIO Summit one down there in the SharePoint side, okay? And that's it. That's the end of the demo part. And let me just find the clicker and switch back to the PowerPoint. I just want to cover one or two more slides and be done with this, okay? Thank you. All right, so that is Grow. Did the demo. Let's talk about Transform. This is an important chart for you to remember, okay? Remember this chart next time somebody asks you to deliver something really quickly. Business requirements change pretty rapidly. They change pretty fast. By the time you figured out how to deliver business functionality that addresses the business requirement, you will have a significant lag. This is fundamental. It takes time, right, to act on things. So push back on people when they go, oh, no, I need this now, I need this now. No, it takes time to do this. When we looked at this at Microsoft, we said, hey, what can we do? Well, you can't change these curves. But what you can do is make it possible such that when people are using, have code in the world of client computing, that it can be reused in the world of mobile computing. So you have all these millions of peripherals and millions of apps. Wouldn't it be great if the code that was written for that would work in the world of mobile computing? And in the world of mobile computing, there's code written for sensors and touch-related code. Wouldn't it be great to use it in the world of client computing? Why do you want to do that, aside from the fact that, yes, it accelerates stuff? Because these worlds are converging. Look at the weight, thickness, and battery life differences across all these four different form factors. 2.9 pounds, 2 pounds, 1.5 pounds, roughly the same, right? The phone, of course, is lighter, it better be. Thickness, half an inch, right? Battery life, yeah, eventually you'll get more battery life on the Surface with Windows 8 Pro. We'll get there, you know, the Haswell chip is coming, woohoo. But if you look at this, you realize there's this massive convergence going on between devices. So if you don't start now with a plan such that when you have code in one area, it works in the other area, at least bits of your code work in the other area, you'll be in deep soup, right? Hot soup. Actually, that's a different phrase, right? I mixed two phrases, right? Deep, beep, and then hot soup. I said deep soup. Okay, all right. So what did we do? Some of you have seen the slide from the previous session. So we have a common development environment. We started with the common driver model, same security model, web browser, managed code, CLR. The same API set for native code. So when you're writing code for networking or input or graphics or media, et cetera, the API set that you use and the syntax, et cetera, that you use will be similar, right? Then when you actually develop an app, you can choose whatever combination you want of managed code, C++ native code, or HTML JavaScript. And there's all the details over there. And the reason why, and so a lot of that code will be able to run across. And it's only going to get better. This is just the beginning. It's not perfect right now by no means. Okay, but it'll only get better. And the reason why, you know, now they're, you know, moving to that NT kernel, that's why this is what is possible because of moving to the NT kernel. Okay? All right, and that brings me to the last slide. The loaner program that my guys were peddling and the buyback program, et cetera. They're actually real programs, so do contact your Microsoft account teams. They can help you with it with loaner phones, et cetera. If you're planning to do a POC, we have financial assistance and technical support and phones, et cetera, that will actually help you out. And that pretty much brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you very much for staying here so late. I do appreciate it. I still have two t-shirts. Who wants? I'm just randomly throwing. I'm randomly throwing it. Okay, there you go. There's more downstairs. Come and get it. Visit the Windows Phone booth. Hey, wait, stop. Service. Sorry. So, we're still giving out a phone. Hang on for a second. For all of you, fill the surveys. That lady over there is collecting the surveys. Quickly. Must be present to win. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
What's the time frame? Because I know you're working on it for a FIPS 142 solution.
Yes, they passed stage 2. And then I think over the next couple of months, they'll pass that stage 4 or something. Okay, bring all your surveys up on stage. Must be present to win. Oh, increase. Here's the phone. Who wants to win a phone? Yes. You haven't filled one? Okay, you'll have to give her, or you'll have to do that. Get the card from her. Dampier, can someone bring them over from the back table, please? Sorry? Which, from my, I was playing YouTube on my phone. Oh, it's playing. There's a software that's connected on my PC that basically shows everything that's going on the phone. So I'm not directly video outing from my phone.
Oh, okay.
Right? Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, it's some special software. You need a blank. All right. All surveys in? All in? Anyone left? Yes? Going once? Okay. Okay. I'm not very good at shuffling. Who wants to volunteer? I need a really honest person. Huh? Who knows how? You? Okay. You shuffle these. Okay. That way I can say that you're not waiting on my account. It's these guys that are delaying you. That's good. I don't know, man. Don't blame it on me. Blame it on these guys if your card doesn't get called out. You cut it? Wow, he's really, like, seriously doing this. Okay, excellent. All right, so let me do a little bit of that. All right, okay. So, Joe Kalmar, wow. Good job, Joe. Let me give you your phone. What phone are you carrying right now? But are you going to change? Are you going to change? You have my word. We have his word. He's going to change. Remember, right? Bison, huh? Yeah.
She says together.